Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Great. Right, we're looking at Walking with Heroes then, part two, or number two. We're looking at Abraham this evening. So, I like Abraham. There's loads of stuff you could speak about this guy. But let's just give us a little reminder as to what we're doing during this series. First verse of Hebrews chapter 12, it says, therefore, and why do we need a therefore? Because there's obviously something that's gone before that's worth taking note, and then it's going to link what is then said next. So since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Now there's that verse there, because what came before was a whole list of people that in the Bible are called heroes of faith or giants of the faith or whatever, but they're heroes, people that have listened to God, believed what he said, and then obeyed him and done whatever and worked that out and walked that out. And in doing so, they've discovered more of who God is. They've seen people's lives impacted. They've been part of God's story being made and being written on earth. And these guys now, as far as the writer of the Hebrews is saying to us, is that we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. And it's like he's saying, just imagine all of these people, the greats that we would really know well, some of the people we're looking at, and maybe some people we've never heard of, people like Jephthah in the Bible. And you think, who's he? But yet he was in the kind of champions or the hall of fame or the heroes of faith or whatever. And just imagine these guys championing us on in our day. And he speaks about running a race, and these guys have run their race. But what would they say to us if they were here today and they did a lap of our race, or they spent a day with us? What would they say to us? They're on the other side of their journey. You know, when you're in the middle of it and you're at the coal face, things look a certain way, don't they? But when you've been through something and you look back, hindsight is always better, you know, it's always perfect, isn't it, apparently? So these guys have been the other side of it. What kind of things can they say to us, having run their race, if they joined in with ours? What would they say to us to help us run the race that we're in the coal face of right now in our walk with God and everything he's doing with us? And how would they encourage us? What would they say to us? And Abraham obviously has got a lot to say to us. And he is known or called the father of faith, or he's called the father of all of those who believe. And Pastor Colin was speaking this morning in Horsham, and he one of the things he said right at the beginning was really, really good. He said Abraham had no Old Testament. He had no commandments. He had no law. He had no New Testament. He had no church, no synagogue. He had no reference point, no temple. There wasn't anything. There was no reference point in the same way that we have now. And it literally was hearing the voice of God and then having to decide whether he was going to believe what he heard with no other support mechanism, system, anything around him that was he could refer to as to or somebody to go to and say, hey, I think I've heard this. What do you think? He was kind of learning on the fly, learning as he went. And he had to listen and he had to learn the voice of God. And as we look through some scriptures here, we'll see that it's knowing the voice of God that makes all the difference in his walk and his life. And some of the things I believe that we can learn, or he wants to show us, if we can put it that way, tonight. So we're going to look at the first few verses of Genesis 12 in a moment, because God spoke to him something that was way beyond, you know, anything that he could have perceived or conceived in his own mind. And God says the same kind of things to us. God is the same then as he is now. He hasn't changed at all. And God often speaks things to us that are beyond our ability to achieve them and to fulfill them. And in one sense, we could say that faith is the ability to trust when we don't know what's happening or we don't understand what's happening. Because even when God speaks, you don't necessarily understand what he's saying. And this is what we find with Abraham, as it was at this point in the story, that God spoke to him, but he gave him a picture. He said, go outside, look at the stars, look at everything. This is going to help you try and perceive and conceive and get the magnitude of what I'm saying to you. So, and in the first few verses of Genesis 12, the Lord says to Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Let's just take note of some of the words it says in those couple of verses there. He says, in order to take this step of faith, you've got to do something. So faith always requires an action. So God speaks to him and he says, leave your country, your people and your father's household. So you're going to need to do something and go to the land. And then look at this. God says, I will show you. So he speaks to him, but he doesn't say, just go and find it. He says, I will show you. Then he says, I will make your name great. Then God says, I will bless you. Then he says, I will make your name great and you will be a blessing as a result. And I will bless those who bless you. So there's a lot of God willing to do stuff in relation to what he promises. So when God promises something or speaks to us, he doesn't just say, here's the promise. Now you get on with it in your own strength. What he says is, I will do what I'm promising. So if you simply believe what I'm saying, even if it is out there, even if it is huge, even if it is beyond your own perception, understanding, and what you think makes sense, I will fulfill what I'm saying to you. All I simply want you to do is believe what I say and take the step that is required to respond to what I'm saying. And as you take that step, then my promise will unfold in front of you. Okay, so that's kind of what I believe God is trying to help Abraham with right at the beginning, that he's saying, okay, we're going to go on a journey. It's going to be exciting. And we're going to get to this destination, the land I'm going to show you. But it's not about a land in and of itself. It's about a people. It's about generations to come. And it's about you and me sitting in this room now, that we are some of the fulfillment of what God promised on that night, that starry night, wherever it was, that God promised, we are some of those stars in the sky that we are now living on earth, if we can use that phrase, you know. And we are now on the earth as a result of the things that God spoke to Abraham. And because he believed and took that step of faith and began to work with God and cooperate with God, we are now here today as a result of his faith. So who could be saved, or who could come into the kingdom as a result of your obedience and my obedience to what God says in our lives? God might not say that we're going to be father of nations in the same way that he said to him, but God does want us to impact and affect people's lives simply through the obedience of us saying yes to whatever God says to us, however outrageous, however unusual it might be. So God was moving, if you look at the few verses before chapter 12, Abraham was actually with his father, were on their way to Canaan anyway, but they got stuck in a place called Haran, because it was a nice place, and they were stopping there just to have a drink on the way. It was a kind of pit stop, but they liked the place so much they ended up staying there, and they lived there, and they actually stopped on the journey on the way to Canaan. What God wanted to do was pick Abraham up and say, right, I haven't finished. You were on the way. And now I'm going to take you and give you some promises. We're going to go to Canaan because that was the promised land that God had already spoken about. I'm going to take you there, but you're going to have to trust me all the way, because the faith isn't necessarily to get to Canaan. The faith is connected with the promises that I'm going to release through you for generations to come.
That's right.
So a little point for us here. What would Moses, what would Abraham, well, I don't know, Moses, he's not born yet. What would Abraham say to us at this moment? God can guide a moving object. If you don't respond, he can only point you in the right direction. But when God speaks, as we respond, then God's got something to work with and guide and take to the destination that he wants it to get to. So if we just listen to God and say, oh, that sounds great, all God can do is point us in the right direction. But God says, no, there's actions required with the direction. And when we take those actions, then God begins to move us. But if we just stay at this point here and we think, well, I don't know how it's going to work out, what it's going to look like, will we ever get there, will I see that happen? We reason ourselves out of what God wants to do. And what God says to us is, no, just begin to move on that journey. And as you go, the perspective of what I've told you will begin to change. And you'll begin to understand more on the journey of what it looks like as you go. But you've got to start that journey to see it unfold. And that's the walk of faith or steps of faith. And that's what he had to do here. So the promises are still all based on what God is going to do. It's not even that we have to do something in our own strength to fulfill it. All we've got to do is say, yes, I'm here, I'm available, pick me, I'll do whatever. And when you go, God says, brilliant, now I've got somebody to work my will and my purposes through. I think it's brilliant. So it's not even like God says, right, I want you to do this, I want you to do that, now go and get on with it. He says, no, I've called you and chosen you to know me. I want to work some things out on the earth, and so I want you to come with me. And as you come with me, I am going to work them through you. So even God's still going to do it, even though we're involved. Yeah. I think it's brilliant. So God always promises beyond our ability, but because he's the one that's going to fulfill it, then it's going to happen. So we're going to jump a little bit from just the beginning of understanding what God was doing in Abraham in terms of beginning to speak to him. Abraham beginning to hear the voice of God, learn what the voice of God sounded like. And the Bible says that because Abraham believed what God said, it was credited to him as righteousness. Some people say, how do you live a righteous life? Well, if you could sum it up really simply, it would be listen to God, believe what he says, and do it. Yeah. That's living in righteousness. Because that's all he did, heard God, believed it, and acted. And it was called, as far as God was concerned, that's righteousness in action. Yeah. So righteousness is not a state of spirituality. You know, when am I going to get to that nirvana moment spiritually where, you know, everything's just hallelujah and you're hovering off the ground or whatever? Righteousness is simply hear, believe, obey, get on with it. That's living in righteousness. So I hope that helps. Burst a few bubbles that we might have in our head. So then we kind of go on a little bit. And you see in chapter 15, God reiterates the covenant that he's made with Abraham and everything's going to do with him. But then in chapter 18... this is where things begin to heat up a little bit in his life, because God has promised that through his descendants, he's going to fulfill what he wants to do. And we know, a lot of us will know this story well, that both Abraham and his wife Sarah were too old to have kids. And it says that she was barren anyway, and she couldn't have kids. And yet God speaks right into the impossible situation what he wants to do. And we look in chapter 18 and verses 9 through 15. Let's just read a couple of those. Three guys turn up, three visitors it talks about here, angels. It doesn't actually say who they are, but basically it's three people from God, angelic angels or whoever. Turn up, but they want to speak to these guys. And so when they arrive, they ask, where is your wife Sarah? In verse 9, and he said, there in the tent. Then the Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah your wife will have a son. Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him, behind Abraham. Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself, and she thought, after I am worn out and my master is old, will I now have this pleasure? Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I'll return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, I did not laugh. But he said, yes, you did laugh. It's amazing, isn't it? God knows what goes on in our heads, our thoughts. So 24 years has passed between God giving the promise that he was going to have a son and this point here. Because they said, in a year's time, we'll come back. And so it's 23, 24 years, because it's 25 years since the promise that he was actually, Isaac was actually born. And so imagine during that period of time, God gives them a promise like God gives you a promise. And you hold on to that, you pray it, you speak it, you believe it. These guys waited 25 years for the promise of God to be fulfilled. That's quite a long time. That's probably about a third of most of our lives, nearly. In terms of how long people generally live. Maybe not quite a third, but about that. So God speaks to you and you're waiting that long for something that is very, very personal. They hadn't had any of their own kids, and God said, you are going to have your own child. And through this child, all the things I've spoken to you, all the things I've shown you, the covenant I've made with you, it's all going to be fulfilled through this son. But the Bible says that Abraham's faith never wavered. That's amazing. It never wavered through that whole time. Now, we do read before or around this sort of time that in chapter 16, a couple of chapters before, that Sarah couldn't wait for the promise of God to be fulfilled. She obviously got to the point where it's like, okay, this has got to hurry up. You know, this something needs to happen. And she tried to short circuit the promises of God. And so she went to Abraham one day and said, look, here's my servant Hagar. Why don't you sleep with her? She can get pregnant. We can have the son that we want. And then God's promises can be fulfilled. Now, Abraham obliged, obviously had a great time. And she got pregnant. But what happened was, it was the beginning of some issues and some problems. And firstly, Sarah began to be jealous of Hagar because she was pregnant. And then Hagar began to taunt and jibe Sarah because she was pregnant and Sarah wasn't. And so immediately Abraham's got some issues here with the women in the camp. And that's not a good thing, is it, guys? You know, when the women aren't happy, then the camp's not happy. So yeah, all right. So, and Hagar had a son, Ishmael, and obviously there's a whole kind of race of people that have come from that. You know, God is amazing how he can redeem things. Because Sarah went to Abraham and said, can you just get rid of Hagar? She's annoying me, she's winding me up. Amazing thing, Abraham had God's heart. You know, because I don't think he really wanted to get rid of her. But God made some promises to Hagar about he was going to bless Ishmael and his descendants. Okay, because all the descendants from Ishmael, they're all still part of God's plan of salvation for them to come into the kingdom. You know, and then obviously. Why was it short-circuiting God? When we try and do things in our own effort, there's no power in it. See, God's promises are supernatural because his word is supernatural. So when God gives a promise and we respond to it, then supernatural things happen because we're working with or walking with or believing God's promise. So with the promise, because the promise is about supernatural things happening, when we walk with those things, supernatural things take place. But when we try and fulfill them in our own effort, there's no super bit in it. There's no supernatural. It's just natural. And that's when we get frustrations. That's when we get issues arising. That's when stuff doesn't go in the right way because we try and short-circuit things and try and do it on God's behalf. Even though they had to kind of wait for a while, and sometimes we wonder, why does God take so long to fulfill what he says he's going to do? At the end of the day, God is always right. God knows best. and God is working out his plan and purpose. All he asks us to do is trust me. Now, that can be a challenge sometimes, can't it, with circumstances and things that happen. Because often the circumstances are different than the promise, or they look different than the promise. But that's where God says, just continue to believe. And I think Abraham would say to us, don't waver in your faith. When God has spoken, he will fulfill it. Even if it goes beyond the time that you think it should happen, or it could happen, or whatever, they were already past that point when God actually spoke to them. So it was going to be a miracle anyway. It wasn't like they could fulfill it in their own effort initially. They thought, well, it's got to be God. That's why she laughed in the tent. Because it was like, oh, that's ridiculous. It's impossible. But God always speaks into the impossible. If he always spoke into the possible, we would all claim the credit for stuff. We wouldn't. We're all like that, really, you know, underneath it all. That if we can get ourselves in somewhere along the way, we do, don't we? You know, we pray for that person, they got healed. And yeah, well, I laid hands on them, didn't I? Yeah, all right, you did lay hands on them, but God healed them, right? Well, yeah, we helped him because we were, you know. And you know, it's the flesh or whatever, the bit in us that always wants to, well, you know, I was the person that said it, or I was the person that wrote it, or I was the person that did it. Do you know what I mean? It's like, who gives a rip? You know, as long as God's doing it, we want him to get the credit for whatever's going on. Anyway. So then Isaac is born, and for Abraham, in his arms, he has got the promise of God. All of you parents in the room, you know what you're like with your kids, and how much you think about them, want the best for them, and all this. And this guy's waited 25 years. Well, in one sense, he's waited a lot longer than that, because they hadn't had kids before. They waited 25 years from the promise. But you imagine, I don't know how old he was, about 100 or something like that, when it was about 100 years old when Isaac was born. So you think he's waited 100 years to have kids. And so now he's got, it's not just a son, it's a son with loads of promises from God about what's going to happen in the rest of, you know, for the rest of mankind. It's like, wow, what an awesome thing. So he must have really thought the world or whatever, you know, of Isaac. And probably, you know, if Arsenal were around, they'd have both been Arsenal fans and gone to see all the Arsenal games and all that kind of stuff. They wouldn't have been into rugby because that's a girls' game. So, you know, they'd have played a proper game. But then there comes a day where God speaks to him, to be Abraham. And he says to him one day, he said, I want you to sacrifice your son. Now, in that culture, in that time, all the different gods that were worshipped, that was one of the things that was required in all these other things that went on, that the firstborn would be sacrificed. So, is that an unusual thing to hear from God? I don't know. There was a lot of that going on then in terms of what was happening. But he heard God speak to him and says, sacrifice your son. Now, in his arms, he's got the promise of God. Now, obviously, what's his name, is a bit older than that. The things I've read, Isaac could have been anywhere from 8 to about 15 years old when this went on, okay? The things I've looked up and tried, I don't know, Dave, if you found anything else, but I've about between 8 and 15, something like that. And so God says, sacrifice your son. Now, Pastor Colin spoke quite a bit about this this morning. It was his one of his favourite things to preach on. Because the following morning, after God spoke to him, it says that Abraham got up early and saddled his donkey. So that was his, I think he probably called it saddle your donkey or something this morning's message. But that was his message this morning that was, the following morning, Abraham, in response to what God said, saddled his donkey, ready to go on a 3-day trek to the place where God told him to go to, which is Mount Moriah, which is where Jerusalem is now, to go and sacrifice your son as a burnt offering. to God. So it was a bit of a test of faith, this one. And the amazing thing with Abraham is, and many of you will know this from reading the story before, is he reasoned, or he thought, okay, God has given me these promises, and he's going to work out his promises through my son Isaac, but he's asked me to sacrifice him, or he's told me to go and sacrifice him. So if God's going to fulfill these things, then he's obviously going to raise him from the dead then. Now, Abraham didn't know that God's intention was not to sacrifice Isaac, but he wanted to see what Abraham's response was going to be. Is he prepared to go all the way and do what I'm going to tell him to do? And Abraham was. And I don't know what that three-day journey was like. Some of us say, oh, it must have been an awful three-day journey. But if Abraham never wavered in his faith, he believed God and reasoned in his mind, well, even if I have to kill my son, God will raise him from the dead. So the outcome's going to be a win-win anyway. And that's weird from a, you know, because in the natural, to think, hang on a minute, how can you put faith sometimes says things that are unreasonable, that don't match up in our natural thinking, that our understanding is like, hang on a minute, how does that work? But yet, because Abraham was in faith, his reasoning didn't get in the way to replace that faith. Instead, his reasoning was, God has spoken, these are the promises. If I kill him, God will raise him from the dead anyway, so it's okay. So I'm going to go in that direction and do whatever God says. So his reason served his faith at that moment. It didn't overcome it and say, hang on, that doesn't follow the promises of God. Forget it, I'm not doing it. He still trusted God and said, I don't get it fully, I don't understand, but at the end of the day, God's going to have to raise him from the dead then. So, okay, let's go. That's amazing kind of faith, isn't it? So they go on this journey. I don't know if that 3 days was difficult for Abraham. I don't think it was. From what the Bible seems to say, that he never wavered in his faith. He knew if God's going to raise him from the dead, there's nothing to worry about. But in the back of his mind, sometimes, I don't know, as a dad, I'd be thinking, wow, I'm, you know, we're on the way. I'm going to lay my son there and I'm going to have to tie him up, all that, sacrifice him. And I mean, it's like, yeah, I don't know, would his head have been going? Because stuff goes on in our heads, doesn't it, if we're really honest? Or do you just hover off the ground, sort of above everything all the time? Yeah, you're the Worthing congregation. I forgot you're all like that, weren't you? So you've primed so much faith in these guys, haven't you? So when they get there, Isaac's carrying some of the wood, helps him make the altar. I don't know if Isaac doesn't say, you know, apart from the one question, where's the sacrifice? And he does ask him, because he's not an idiot. Do you know what I mean? It's like, we're up here, we're building this thing, and I don't see a sheep, a goat, or anything else. We haven't brought anything with us. So what are we going to put on this thing? You know? So I don't know if the penny dropped that it was going to be him or not, but he was asking the question. And Abraham obviously placed him on there. What was going through the child's mind? Who knows? Pastor Collins said this morning, if Abraham was a man of faith, then he must have raised Isaac as a person of faith as well. And so Isaac was lying on there. Imagine Isaac lying on there, all tied up, looking up, you know, and his dad with a whacking great knife ready to, or whatever he's going to do. I mean, what a moment. Dad, I thought you loved me. I thought we were mates. I thought there were some promises that God's given. You know, I don't know. It doesn't. But what it does say is that just at the last moment, that same voice that said to him, leave your country and your household and everything and go to this place. The voice that said, you're going to have a child and it's going to be the son of promise and the rest of mankind is going to be impacted by the son that you bear and the promises I'm going to work out through him and his generations and everything. The voice that he heard, that he knew and got to know, that was the voice of the Lord, at that moment said, it's all right, you've passed the test. And immediately there was a little ram in the thicket and they got that and sacrificed that. And amazing moment. Faith a lot of the time doesn't make sense in the natural. It challenges your reason. Because faith requires actions that have supernatural results, not natural ones. Faith requires us to believe God when the circumstances look very, very different, when your emotions and feelings are looking like something else. But you know, when you've heard something from God, there is a rest of faith. And that's what Abraham had in his spirit. A rest of faith. He knew he'd heard God. So even when God said something, as part of him walking out this faith that seemed to cut across what his expectation of how God was going to fulfill it. So even God then said something that was like, hang on a minute, that's not how I'm expecting God to fulfill it. But he still trusted God. Knowing, well, God must be right. Because he's been right so far. He's proved himself all the way. So he's still going to continue to prove himself. Remember, he still didn't have a reference point, a pastor to go to, a Bible online or a reference point or a somebody. You know, he didn't have anybody. He just had, it's me and God. This is it. Psalm 9 verse 10 says, those who know the Lord, trust him. Those who know the Lord, trust him. Now along the way, Abraham had some encounters. He had an encounter with Melchizedek, who was the high priest. And it was like an archetype. It was like a type of Christ, this high priest, that he had an encounter with. And it was like God in human form, really. And his response when he encountered Melchizedek was to bow down and worship because it was God, really, manifested himself to him. And so he worshipped, but his response was to give him a tenth of everything he had. And so the tithe, if you like, that we give, you know, weekly or monthly or whenever you give your tithe, stemmed from that moment, from an act of worship, and then it was incorporated down the road in the law. So it never originated in the law, the tithe. It originated from an act of worship and a response to God. And you find that in, I think it's Genesis 14 or something. Those who know the Lord, trust him. How do we know the Lord? We encounter him. We hear from him. And as we believe and respond to him, then we, that knowing him grows. Hearing the voice of God, it more clearly grows as we go in obedience. I think often God gives us just enough to take the step. I don't think God always gives us three or four steps ahead. Otherwise we start running ahead of God, thinking, oh, we know what we're doing now, so we can take the control, you know. Whereas I think he says enough. He might give you a big picture, but he says enough that we have to say, wow, I'm actually going to have to trust him just with this next step. And as we trust him in that step, and then we take another one, and the voice of God, I think, gets clearer, and you get more understanding. But what we want to do is we want to make knowing God the goal, which leads to trusting God, which leads to being a person of faith, than just making any kind of knowledge and all of that our goal. So for Abraham, it was knowing God that was his emphasis. And in that, God spoke to him and developed and grew him as a man of faith and what we now call the father of faith. And in one sense, like we said this morning, in one sense, the Bible says that we're children of Abraham. We're descendants of Abraham and the promises, and we're living in the promises now. I mean, we live the other side of the cross, which they never did, which is phenomenal, you know. So we have Christ in us. We have God in us, not just around and speaking to, but in, which is phenomenal. One last thing before we pray. Abraham never saw the fulfillment of the promise, but yet he lived for it. But though he never fully saw it, he saw the fulfillment in Isaac and then his grandchildren, Jacob, and when they were. But in terms of this big thing, stars, nations, all of that, Abraham had an eternal mindset, not a natural one. So he lived with an eternal perspective on life. And the Bible talks about rewards in heaven. And Abraham understood the eternal purposes of God, not just the natural ones. And so even though he didn't see the fulfillment of everything, the rewards for walking by faith, believing God, even though he didn't see the fulfillment of everything, he still believed God, didn't waver in that, and said, I'm going to continue in this anyway, and then there's going to be rewards for Abraham. In the same way that God speaks to us about our own lives and some steps we need to take to see God work in the week by week, the month by month, the year by year. But there's also things that God speaks to us that we're part of that are so much bigger than just us in our own lives, about seeing a community impacted, a town getting saved, or a region being, or a nation being transformed. And some of that might not happen in our lifetime, but yet we're living with promises that we might not ever fully see. But because God understands that his promises are eternal and they're outworked from one generation to the next, there'll be rewards in heaven for you and I if we walk by faith and believe, even though we might not see the fulfillment, but because we believed and trusted God, it'll be credited to us as righteousness and therefore rewards. Amen. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? Amen. So we want to live with an eternal perspective on our lives, an eternal way of thinking on our lives. And I think that helps sometimes to deal with any frustration that you can have. So what are some of the things that, just to remind ourselves, that we could learn from Abraham? God knows best. Sometimes what he says is unreasonable, but he's always right. I think he would say, submit your reason to faith. That when God speaks, he'll always speak into something that is different than what he's speaking. Otherwise, he doesn't need to speak, does he? If everything was okay and sorted, and God doesn't need to speak into it. But God speaks into what he wants to change. So he always speaks into the impossible. And I think Abraham would just say to us, just simply listen, believe what God says, because he's right. He knows the beginning from the end. And then just take those steps that you need to take. And as you take those steps, then his supernatural work will kick in. However small is needed, however great is needed. Don't try and short circuit, I think he would say. Don't short circuit. Don't try and come up with lots of ideas of how you can make this happen. Or, well, it's not happening quick enough, so what can we come up with? What should we do? What should we do, you know, to accelerate the promises of God? And it's like, no, God, we just want to continue to walk with you. Some of the fulfillment happens quickly. Some can take longer. But let's not try and do God's job for him. So whatever God says in our lives, let's believe and just take those steps of faith and act upon what he says. Let's stand together, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Just firstly, thank the Lord that you are part of the fulfillment of promises that were given 4,000 years ago to Abraham. And we're 4,000 years later, we are some of the fulfillment of the promises. We're descendants of Abraham. We're alive in God now because one man believed God 4,000 years ago, didn't waver in his faith. Thank you, Jesus. One of the things that we prayed this morning that I believe it would be good to pray tonight, just sometimes we have Ishmaels in our lives. We do stuff that tries to, that without realizing it, maybe with a good intention, God, I'm going to do this for you. And I'm going to, you know, and some of us might have had some Ishmaels where we've blown it or done the wrong thing and all of that. And just this evening, I believe God's just saying, Father, forgive me for doing some Ishmaels, for making choices that weren't yours, for trying to short circuit promises you've given, to try and put things into place to make things happen. So, Father, I ask you to forgive me where I've just done some Ishmaels and tried to do things in my own strength. It's like God forgives. a lot of it we do, when we do mistakes, is with a good intention. We just, oh God, you know, I want to see that happen. And God's like, yeah, I know you do. So do I. But if you listen to me, there's a right way. There's a God way. And when you do it my way, there'll be something of me in it, which will be the supernatural bit. And things will happen in a much greater way than if you try and do it yourself. Maybe you've made choices and there's been consequences to some of those choices you made before, and you think, ah, if I'd never done that. Just with that regret, if there is any, just give it to the Lord now. If there's any sense of regret about a decision or something that's happened in your life, decisions you've made, you think, if I'd just not done that, just give that regret over to him right now. Father, I give you that regret. He has already forgiven, because I'm sure you've asked him to forgive you for that before. You are already forgiven, because he's forgiven you for it already when you asked him before. But he doesn't want you to live with any regret. God's amazing at redeeming situations and turning things around that you might have regretted, but God can somehow work in the situation and turn things out for good. And we might not understand that or see it right in the moment, but yet it's possible. God took the situation with Ishmael and ended up speaking promises over his life and his descendants. And many of those descendants are now coming to Christ. They are being born again right now all around the world. God is revealing himself in visions and dreams to many of Ishmael's descendants and to those nations that have come from Ishmael. And God is revealing who he is, the real, true, living God. So God is redeeming all of that stuff, and many, many, many are getting born again and saved. God is a redeeming God. He redeems stuff in our lives. He'll never leave us in a clag and in a mire. He always lifts us out. We just need to take hold of it and say, him and say, Father, I thank you that you lift me out of that. Lift me out of regret and all of that stuff. I thank you that you've placed my feet on solid ground. And from this time onwards, I can go forward boldly and confidently, not looking over my shoulder, not having any snags trying to pull me back. But I just unhook that. I free myself up from that. I throw off everything that hinders. Throw it off, because this great cloud of witnesses are looking over me going, come on, run that race. Come on, take the advice from Abraham. Look at his life. He was a bloke just like you, a person just like you. But yet all he did was just believe God and say, okay, I'll believe you and do it. And he became a man of faith and the father of faith. So, Father, I thank you that everybody in the room today, we're just normal people like Abraham was when you rocked up one day and spoke into his life. And he's in the Bible just because he obeyed what you said. And although the Bible's already been written, we thank you that we're in the book of life already, because our names are written there. But Father, we want stories to be written of how we responded and obeyed to you, and stories that say, wow, look at this one and that one and that one. I said that and they believed me and they acted. The circumstances look ridiculous, but they still believed me anyway. Even in 2014, when the culture of the society was so anti-God, people didn't want to know me and they were just living the way they wanted to, that person, that family, that household, that church, those people, they believed me. They responded to me. They lived in a way that really honored me. I love that. And God calls that righteousness. So just thank him that you have the word and the power of the word. Thank him that you have the power of the Holy Spirit. And the two together, a lamp to your feet, a light to your path, and the power to live as a person of faith. You haven't got to do it in your own strength, because when God promised Abraham, he said, I will do this, I will do that, I will do the other. All God says is just hear, believe, act, and I will unfold and fulfill everything that I've said to you. Come on, let's just thank the Lord, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.